Good evening. Thank you so much for being here today. It's truly a privilege and an honor to have the opportunity to speak before you here tonight. It might be a little bit, of a short sermon, just depending on how much I cough while I'm up here. And I do appreciate your prayers on your behalf for Tracy, because she is the one that's fighting this now. I'm at the tail end of it. She's at the beginning of it, and it's not good. So I just don't like seeing her sick. Remember to have Tracy in your prayers, and as we're trying to recover from this, it's just been a bad month. I mean, it's not necessarily like bad as in, you know, life's no good. It's just with the weather and hill weather, it just hasn't been a good month, and we're just looking forward to February and having a good February. So remember Albert Dixon in your prayers, too. I could talk probably all evening about Albert Dixon. He's a good friend of mine. I've invited him to every congregation I've preached at. I've invited him there. And then every time I go to Cincinnati, I ask him if he wants to come to a game with me. And we don't really watch the game. We just cut up most of the time. And he's a great man. And I hope you'll enjoy time with him. And I hope you act silly with him, because I just don't recall any time that we've ever been together we didn't laugh at each other. And he's just a great guy to be around. And I hope you'll be encouraged by having him with you. I hope his wife comes with him as well, because she's a very sweet girl as well. And, you know, my son's here tonight, and I can remember they stayed with Albert one time when they had a soccer tournament over in Cincinnati. And he sends me these pictures of all the things that they're doing. They treat him like Prince and the Queen that was there, because Tracy was with Carter, and Carter was showing me all these pictures, all the things that his wife has given them, and it's just, like I said, just a great guy, and you'll have a great time, not only be built up by the Word, but you'll also be built up by His presence as well. Tonight, I don't want to talk about marriage. You're probably tired of hearing marriage, because that was a lot from what I've heard the message this morning, and this is not really about marriage relationship as much as our relationship to God. As Morgan read there in Ephesians chapter 5, you see he talks about this great relationship. You want me to turn my microphone, don't you, Chuck? I'm really going to be loud then. Am I good now? All right. But as we talk about the relationship of marriage, this is the thing that we must understand that God is trying to remind us here when it comes to our relationship with God. If we look at the value of marriage, and you've had this message about marriage this morning, then you understand, if we can understand the importance of that relationship, you understand the importance of the relationship with God and His people. And remember last time I was here, we talked about how He reminds us through a lot of prophets that they are my people and I will be their God. This prophet is no different. And He reminds us in this book of Hosea about this relationship that Hosea has with his wife, how it's not a healthy relationship, but he is trying to show that this relationship that he is going through is somewhat like God's relationship when it comes to His people. Maybe you've asked this question. I was going to start doing this at the tail end, and maybe we will do it at the tail end again. But you think about some people in certain relationships that they have, and you ask yourself, what does she see in him? And what does he see in her that they have this relationship? Maybe in your eyes, you say, that is a very bad relationship, or that's doomed to fail. And maybe we look at those relationships and we say to ourselves, I don't get it. And if you look at that kind of idea of that relationship on the outside, then you do get a little bit of the understanding of how God's relationship is with His people. Because maybe we look at it the same way when it comes to how people are towards God in that relationship. I don't get it. I don't get why God wants to continue to show love and show mercy and show compassion and show forgiveness to someone who don't deserve it. And that's what we see here in this relationship in Hosea. And you see how bad this relationship is. And God is trying to show us here that if you understand the relationship that Hosea has with Gomer, then you should understand what the relationship that God has with his people. So with that being said, just go to Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 through 9, and look how God commands Hosea this. He says, go take yourself an adulterous wife and the children unfaithfulness. Doesn't that give you all kinds of red flags here? Maybe you've seen that individual, it seems like, well, if you do this kind of checklist when it comes to your dating, you say, well, I don't want to be with that kind of person. But here God is commanding Hosea to do just that. Go to someone that you know is bad news. And not only be with this person who is bad news, have children with this person who is bad news. And it's supposed to represent not only God's relationship with his people, but also with all the other people that is affected by this. Once again, we think that when it comes to a relationship that goes bad, you think it only revolves just one person and one individual, just one-on-one. When it comes to a divorce, we think that it only affects the husband and the wife, and that's not necessarily the case. And we understand that there is an everlasting impact that comes along the children. That comes along the impact of the people that is outside of Israel. Or at least that's the impression I get when I look at Hosea. Because people are watching. And people are looking. And people are trying to understand, what is it that is so important for us to have this relationship with God? What is it that is so important for us to do the things that we do to be with God? And sometimes when we have that relationship with God, it's not the ideal relationship that we should have. Think about that. There's times that we have sinned. And there's sometimes we have made mistakes. And people see this. And they ask themselves, why do I want to have that kind of relationship when you do the things that you do here? So that's why you see there, he tells us, he goes, I want you to understand what's going to happen here. And he's going to name off his children here. One of the children that he names here is Jezreel. And if you don't understand, well, why would he name that? You see that tells us judgment is coming, but it goes a little bit more deeper than that. Because Jezreel is the home of Ahab and Jezebel. And the tragic things that happen with Naboth's vineyard, and also when Jehu decides to take out Ahab and Jezebel. And Jezebel's death was very tragic. And Jehu, even though he was trying to do things right before the eyes of God, he did it in a very, very, very violent pattern. And you can go back to the book of Kings and you can read about that very tragic situation that comes with Ahab and comes with Jezebel. And then you see also that he names two other children. There's two sons and a daughter. And the second one is a daughter, and her name is La Ruhama. And that means it's not loved. And that's how this relationship is going on right now between God and his people. God is showing this love to them, but the people are not showing that love back. And we would say to ourselves, that relationship is not good. Because even though there is this affection being shown, even though there is shown this mercy, this compassion being shown, and even though there is this mercy being shown, that is not being reciprocated. And we would say to ourselves, well, why even have a relationship? And then you see the next one is Lo Ami, which means not my people. Imagine if you would, if you had this kind of relationship. Let's just say that you're out with your children and say, well, this must be your children. And you're just like, no, those are not my kids. Can you imagine what your kids would feel like if you're not recognized as being their parent? Can you imagine what it'd be like if you was out? You know, I can remember there's times during the days of dating where you thought you was in this kind of relationship, but when you went out and you was with certain people, it didn't seem like that relationship was there. Imagine how someone would feel when they think you had this kind of relationship, but you don't. And remember, this is not necessarily the southern kingdom of Israel we're talking about here. This is the northern kingdom. And the northern kingdom never had a good king. And the people of Israel, there was never really an ideal group of individuals either. And God shows it, he goes, you are not my people. And they're going through this very horrible reign of Jeroboam II right now. And it's just moments, it seems like, before Assyria comes in and takes over. You see, when it comes to this message, God's love is a covenant. It's not of convenience. And what I mean by this is we think that there's this unconditional love that God has for us. And yes, he does have this unconditional love for us. But also realize there is a covenant relationship that's involved here too. And you see this told throughout the book of Hosea. And you see that the idea when it comes to Israel is that love should always be as long as the benefits be. And we see many times when people make the argument about religion today, and when they talk about Jesus and what if Jesus is a Republican or a Democrat, or would Jesus be an ICE, or would Jesus be this, or would Jesus be that? And we talk about all these scenarios that's happening in our world today. And we ask ourselves, would Jesus be like this? Well, the thing is that you're missing the point what Jesus is all about if you put some kind of statement with him. Because Jesus cannot have a relationship with you if you're not willing to have a relationship with him. You can't say that Jesus is loving towards you if you're not willing to show that I love you too. Even though I have made mistakes, even though I've done things wrong, even though I'm trying to work on these things, there can't be a relationship if you're not willing to work on the relationship. Because God reminds us here, when it comes to this relationship, that he's always going to be there. This past week, I had this young lady. A couple weeks ago, I told you about how I wanted to go visit this individual before he passed away. And I didn't get there in time. I come to find out that his daughter, who's very young age, found out that not only she just lost her dad about less than a month ago, but she lost her mom about 3 years ago. And she puts out this message that she is lonely. And I'm not shocked. But the thing that really scares me is she talks suicidal. So I reach out to her. I say, hey, are you all right? So you want to talk about this? You want to do something about this? And I say, are you going to be okay? So we talked a little bit. And I told her, I said, listen, she grew up where I grew up at. And I said, listen, I said, maybe you don't need to be there anymore. I said, I had to learn that while some people could live there, and I'm not mocking anybody who lives back in my hometown, it's for them. It just wasn't for me. And I told her, I said, listen, if you want to get out, I'll help you. I haven't figured out the next step, but I wanted her to know if she wanted to do something about her life, let's do something about it. And she said, well, I don't know if I can do this or I don't know if I can do that. And I said, you know what? That's fine. You figure it out, you figure it out. But I want you to know that that offer's here. And if you do want to get out, I'm here for you. The reason why I bring that story up is that's what that relationship with God's all about. He doesn't hide himself from you. And he knows that you are going through some stuff. But know this. If you want to get out of the hole that you're in, if you want to get out of the situation you're in, it's there. All it requires is you and a willingness to do something about it. That's the covenant relationship. For us to sit back and say, well, God, take care of this, or God, help me with this, or God, help me with this, or try to figure this out for me. If you are not willing to take a step and asking for that help and willing to do something when that help is offered, then you got a problem when you're not willing to do anything about it. Because God is going to be there. The question you have to ask yourself is, are you willing to go there? Are you willing to take the next step? Look how in Hosea chapter 2, verses 19 through 23, he tells us this relationship. He says, when you call on me, I will be your God. He tells them, because when you want to come back here, here's where I'm at. Here's where we need to be. Come to me, and don't think that my voice is not close to you, or don't think my ear is far away from you. I am here for you. But remember this, that the only way I can help you is if you're willing to call on me. Maybe some of you remember when we used to listen to the radio. Well, it's not XM. But back there was times like you had to be like the 9th caller or the 99th caller or the 20th caller. And it was in order to win tickets. I know it was always on Womp FM. And you always got on there and you wanted to win tickets to a concert at Coca-Cola, Star Lake. And you had to be a certain caller. But one of the things I could remember in those sweepstakes on the radio is like, you can't win if you don't call. And that's the same way when it comes to God. We can't have a relationship with God if you're not willing to call on him, if you're not willing to go to pray with him, if you're not willing to study and try to understand what he is like, to try to have this kind of relationship with him. Yesterday, Tracy and I, we've been homebound forever. And she got me to watch this thing called the Andy Griffith Show. And I didn't realize there was two Floyd the Barbers. Who knew? Well, some of you guys will tell me afterwards, yeah, I knew. But one of the things that I found interesting was the episode she was watching was this guy that wanted to be a part of Mayberry. And he read everything about Mayberry. He read about this one girl, wanted to be his boyfriend, and he liked all the things about Mayberry, so he wanted to go live in Mayberry. But he knew so much about Mayberry, it made everybody feel like standoffish and weird about it, because he knew them better than he knew themselves. And the thing is, Andy Griffith tries to remind us, he goes, what's so bad about somebody that really wants to be a part of this? And usually that's the same thing the world tells us. What's so bad to be about part of God? We have this opportunity, even tonight, we have this opportunity, if we want this relationship to be better, we have an opportunity tonight to do something to make it stronger. In baptism, in repentance, in prayer, and singing. We have all these things, we have all these avenues available to us to be better children of God tonight. But sometimes we don't take those opportunities for one reason or another. And we'll talk about, you know, one of the things that is talked about in the book of Hosea is these lovers that Hosea has. And one of the things we'll ask ourselves tonight is, who's your lover? Now, I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm not talking about your children or some significant other. But what takes you away from God? What makes you commit adultery with all these other things and stay away from God? And not the physical adultery, or not the adultery that we read about in Matthew 19, but I'm talking about the things that takes you away from being a part of God. And it's really easy this past month, with all this weather, with all this illness, to really be far away from him. What brings you stronger to God? What brings you back and have this greater relationship with God? Anybody who's been married, anybody who's been married 10 plus years, maybe I'm being bold on that, will tell you that their marriage is not easy, but it's rewarding. Because there's things that your husband will do that probably drives you nuts, and there's things your wife does that probably drives you nuts, but you have learned in this relationship to give and take, and you realize that you didn't marry him because he snores all night, you married him because you love him. You have this kind of relationship with him, and this is something that we understand is important in our relationship towards one another. You understand that there's shortcomings not only with God, but there's also shortcomings with God's people. God's not going to give you everything you want. God's not your genie. God's not your butler. But you understand that he has benefits for you. But you also understand that there's a relationship that's involved in there. Look, if you will, in Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. God makes this statement here in Hosea chapter 11 where he says to him, he goes, how can I give you up, Ephraim? Ephraim is what he usually calls Edom, or he also calls Esau. There was Jacob and Esau. Jacob was usually Judah or Jerusalem. Esau was either Edom or Ephraim. And even though this northern kingdom has been so corrupt, even though this kingdom has been something that has been very detestable to God because they followed all this idolatry, he says, I can't give up on you. One time, my wife and I, we was sitting down in our living room. We was talking about, there was just another couple that just end up divorcing over adultery. And I had to ask. I said, what would you do if that was me? And I'm not like looking for, you know, looking for opportunities here. That's not the point here. But the thing she says, because I don't know. But think about, what would you say? Gone. Wouldn't even be a thought. We've saw so many times that's happened to so many individuals. When this situation happens, no. Because pride comes in. We say to ourselves, no. You're not doing that to me. You're gone. Here, Hosea, with three children, his wife leaves him. He not only go gets her, but whoever she's with, he's willing to pay to have her back. That's going above and beyond. Pride's not the situation that he needs to remind us here. He's trying to remind us, how many times have we have slipped when it comes to God? How many times have we messed up when it comes to God? And God says, no, I still want you back. I still want you back. That's why you see that even though his justice demands righteousness, his mercy provides it. I just want you back. Imagine if we just took that kind of mentality towards individuals when it comes to them falling in sin. That, I just want you back. You ever notice in a woman that was caught in adultery in the very midst of it? You ever notice that the thing that he says, he says, I don't condemn you. He goes, go and sin no more. It's just telling us here. He goes, no, I'm not condemning you, but stop it. go on, but stop it. I don't need an explanation why you did wrong. Just stop it. I don't need an explanation why you're trying to justify this. No, just stop it. That's what God is trying to remind us here when it comes to Israel. Israel, I want you back, but you got to come back and you got to stop these things. You got to stop worshiping all these other things. You got to stop worshiping all these other lovers. You got to stop worshiping Baal. You got to stop worshiping these Assyrian gods. You got to stop worshiping these Egyptian gods. You got to stop worshiping these Edomite gods. Just stop it. You want me, here I am. My arms are wide open, but you got to stop these things. And that's the sad thing. People are just willing to come to God, but they're not willing to give up these idols. They're not willing to give up the idolatry they have. Yes, that's a very loving God, but that loving God wants you to be righteous before Him. And it's not too late. There was a guy I used to work with, Nick Brooks. I don't even know if he's still alive. I worked with him at Broughton's. And I remember one time, I didn't know if he'd want to come in a church building one time. He's like, Jay, I don't think the church building will fall down around me. He's right. There's no church that's going to fall down around you, no matter how unrighteous you have done. But if you want to come back to God, understand this. He's not going to give up on you, but you got to give up your idols. Look there in Hosea chapter 14. In Hosea chapter 14, he tells them about how there was a time that you just never... It's almost a history lesson. Let's put it that way. If you look at Hosea chapter 14, you also see it in Jeremiah, you also see it in Ezekiel, you also see it in other prophets. They tell them a story about how one time you used to be really, really close to me, and then you decided to do other things. And then when you started to do those other things, that's when you started being further and further away from me. Like when they wanted a king. God warned them. It's like, having a king is a very bad idea, but you know what? I'll give it to you anyways. I gave you all the warnings. I told you what would happen if you decide to have a king. You're going to have your people become their servants. They're going to do things that maybe they don't want to do. And that's not going to be ideal for you or your family. And you said, you know what? We don't care. We want a king anyways. And then you see how bad that turned out. He says, remember when you went into the wilderness? Why did you go to the wilderness? You went to the wilderness because you became disobedient to God. You complained about everything. And you decided to worship other things that the Egyptians did. Those guys that you were supposed to not follow in their paths. He said, you have a habit of chasing after things that you shouldn't be chasing after. We all do it. That's my question to you tonight. What are your lovers? What are the things that put you away from God? What is the idol that you come to worship? Maybe it's your job. I've had individuals that I worked with that retired only for months later to pass away. And they worked all these hours amidst important family events and amidst important things that happened in their life so they could live happy ever after they retired at 60 or 65. And then they found out that it didn't last very long. Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's your kids. I've seen very many marriage relationships ruined because of their children. And I'm not telling you that you should forsake your kids. That's not the point. There was a couple that I used to be very good friends with. She just thought her kids were everything. And she focused so much on her children that she forgot about her husband. They end up getting a divorce. And then the kids end up moving out. Now she's really alone. Who is the thing that makes that kind of distraction to you, that makes you fall away from His grace? Because if you look at the Hosea, it doesn't end with judgment, but it ends with an opportunity. Be mine. Let me be your God and become my people. This is that point where we see He tells us, come back, Israel. Let you be my people, and I will be your God. Hosea's story, brethren, is not something that's for the faint of heart. It's a very tragic story about how a man with children loses his wife and tries to go get her back. But it also points us how important we are when it comes to Christ. And shows how His love is not conditional, it's covenant. It's with a covenant. It does not give up. It redeems, it restores, and renews. And it lets us give the opportunity to return that love today. Maybe you heard recently in Athens, Ohio, that there was a big argument about the Pledge of Allegiance being vocalized during meetings. And a couple of the board members said that wasn't something that was constitutional. And one lady in particular was an atheist. She goes, I don't think it has anything to do with this meeting that we should be doing this kind of oration. One young man stood up and tried to remind us what that pledge was all about. If you look at the Pledge of Allegiance, this is a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. There's a reason why that pledge is made. Because some people believe that there is injustice going on today. That pledge reminds us that we still pursue that. And some people believe that there is this freedom that we should still have in this nation. We do have that freedom in this nation. That pledge is about that too. And how, when it comes to this nation, it seeks to do things that comes from those precepts and promises God laid out. The nation was founded on that, whether you agree with it or not. But He's trying to remind us here that when we make this pledge, it's not about some kind of religious obligation. It is about showing where we stand when it comes to this country, whether we're with it or we're against it. And the reason why I bring that up, brethren, is because here we got an opportunity tonight to show where our allegiance is when it comes to God. We have that opportunity here tonight. Remember what baptism was supposed to be all about. It wasn't about some putting away of the filth of the flesh, Peter reminds us. It was supposed to show us that we are a part of God. And we want to be a part of God. And we're going to do this. You know, some make the argument you shouldn't call it an outward sign of an inward faith. It is. It is an outward sign of an inward faith. And if God tells us through Scripture, through command, not only practiced by Jesus, but also practiced by His disciples, and continue to make that practice throughout the New Testament, then it's something that we should follow. When it comes to repentance, Jesus reminds us often how we need to repent because that kingdom is coming. And it's available for us here tonight. For those who want to change, what is repentance? What is the definition of repentance? It is an opportunity to change, to transform. Paul will tell us that it's not the confirmation, but a transformation with the renewing of our minds. We have that opportunity tonight as well. Maybe we need to pray about things. Once again, let us never get tired about praying for individuals who really need the prayers right now. Not only through physical health and illnesses, but those who are struggling in a spiritual realm as well. There's an opportunity tonight to ask for prayer. And what can we do to help you with that tonight? So if you need to respond to any of these things, I encourage you to do so now while we have the opportunity, while we stand, while we sing.